Today, sharing the Dalad Daf is the Gemara in Psachim Daf Nun Tes. We begin about 13 lines up from the top with the words, Netanya ki kushin. It's a little bit below the start of the Tosos, Osi Aseh de Pesach. Now, we remind ourselves in yesterday's share that we had a Brisa that brought down the hierarchy in terms of order of things that are done on Erev Pesach. So we said the Brisa taught us that first in the afternoon of Erev Pesach, you bring the Korban Tomid, then you bring the Korban Pesach, and subsequently, the last actions of the day that you do as Avoda are the bringing of the Ktores on the Inum Mizbeach, and finally, the last action was the lighting of the candles. Now, this was the order that was brought down in the Brisa based upon the fact that it says by the Korban Pesach, it says the words both Bo'erev and Bein Harabayim, which suggests it should be late, as opposed to the Korban Tomid, where it only says one time, it only says Bein Harabayim. And then we brought down, because of the Psukim, Yaruch Oso Aron Uvon on the Erev Ad Boker, in regards to the lighting of the Neros, of the menorah, so therefore that had to be the only thing that was done at night. Yaruch Oso, and not anything else. And that explained the order, again, Tomid, Pesach, Tores, Neros. Now we're going to base on that same brisa, we're going to ask the following question. V'tanya ki kushin. We have another brisa that, based upon what we just said, says the order should be different. If you're telling me, essentially this brisa is going to say that by the Korban Pesach it says both Erev and Bein Harabayim, then the Korban Pesach should be last. And you in fact should have the order, the Korban Tomid, you should have the Ktores, the Neros, and then the Korban Pesach. So Gemara says, this brisa tells us, 13 lines up again from the top, Nuntas of Aleph, Tomid, Kodim Lektores, the Korban Tomid should be brought before the Ketores. Following that, you have the Ketores, following that, Ketores, Kodemus Leneros, the Neros then come afterwards, the Neros, Kodim Lepesach, and all of them should come before the Korban Pesach. Again, because it says by the Korban Pesach, Yeuchar, Dover, Shnemar, Bo, Bo'erev, Ubein Rabbayim, the last thing should be, the thing about where it's written, Bo'erev and Bein Rabbayim, i.e., by the Korban Pesach, that's what it says, so too. Therefore, it should be the very last thing. L'dover shalo nemar, bo, ela bein arbayim bovai. All the others, the Korban Tomid, the Ktores, and the Neros, they only say bein arbayim. So why is it the Korban Pesach the last in the four, not the second one after the Korban Tomid? So Gemara says, we said this already yesterday, voksiv oso, yaroch oso, and not anything else. So Gemara says, no. This brisa says we need the word oso to teach us something else. Hey, oso, miboyele, we need it for something else. What do we need it for? Lemute, to go and exclude avodo shebifnim. This is to tell us that there's no other avoda that's done inside the heichal that should go and be done after the lighting of the candles. And what might you have thought? There's only one other avoda that we do inside in the Hechel on a daily basis, with my new Ketores. So when I have the choice of which one should come first, the Ketores or the Neros, I need Oso to tell me that the Neros go after the Ketores. Because I might have said on my own, if I didn't have the Pasuk Yaroch Oso, I would have said on my own, Sal Kedai Techamin, if I would have thought, by the Ketores it says, Ho, Luxiv, Ubalos, Aron, Es, HaNeros, Ben, Rabayim, Yakti Rena. It's only when the candles are lit, Palos Aronis and Neros, when the candles are lit, then Yakti Rena, then you bring the Ketores. I would have said that the Ketores should come after the lighting of the candles, and therefore that would have been the right order. Amor Nadlik Neros Beresha, first light the candles, as the Pasuk says, Bahalos Aronis and Neros, and then Bahadar Nakti Ketores, then Yakti Rena. Therefore, we need the words, Yaroch Oso, Aron of Anov, Miet Rachmona Oso. Therefore, the Torah tells us that no, the Ketores goes first, and the Neros are the last. So that brings the obvious question then. Why do we have to say, Elo, Bein Harabayim Yaktirena? At the end of that pasuk, what does it tell us that Bein Harabayim Yaktirena, which implies it's after Bahalos Aron, normally? So the Gemara says, no, that's needed. Hochi Kamar. This is what you need it for. This is what the Torah tells us. Hochi Kamar Rachmona. The Idon, the Madlakas Neros, at the time that you're going and lighting the candles, by Los Aronis and Neros, already at that point in time, Tehei Mikdara Ketores, the Ketores should already be lit. So that pasuk comes to tell me the order is Ketores and then Neros. And then the Korban Pesach, about which it says, Bo'erev and Bein Rabbayim, that should be the fourth and final one of these actions. So this brisa disagrees with the brisa we wrote down in the end of yesterday's shir. Now we have a new brisa, Tana Rabbanon, Ein Lecha Dovar Shekodim L'Tomid Shel Shachar. We had mentioned this yesterday, and here we have a brisa that Beferish states it, that the Korban Tomid Shel Shachar is the first thing that's done in the morning. There's no other carbon that's brought before it. However, there is one other activity that's done before it. This brisa says, El Ketores Bovad, the actual putting the Ketores up on the Mizbeach on the inner Mizbeach, the Korban Tumah is on the outer Mizbeach, as we reminded ourselves yesterday. So the Ketores is the only action in the Beis HaMikdash that comes before the bringing of the Korban Tumah Shel Shachar up on the Mizbeach, the actual bringing of the Haktorah of the Korban Tumah on the Mizbeach. Where do we know that the Ketores comes first? Shenemar Ba, by the Ketores it says, Baboker, Baboker, as we'll see in the Pesukim in a moment, and it only says Boker in regards to the Korban Tumah. So therefore, the Braisa tells us, the Yukdam, it makes sense to have the first thing, the earliest thing, the Ketores, about which it says, Dover Shenemar Ba, Baboker, Baboker, the double Loshem, meaning really early in the morning, and therefore that should come first. And now we quote the full Pasuk, the Siv, it says, by the Ketores, Viktir, Allah of Aaron Ketores Samim Baboker Baboker, and therefore that should come first, as opposed to something which only says Boker, the Korban Tumah. L'davar Shalonam Abo Ela Boker Echad. It only says one Boker, as the pasuk says. It's a Kevesachot Taseh Vaboker. So there's only one Boker there, and therefore the Ketores Boker Boker should come before the Tumah, which just says Boker once. The Braisa continues and says, "Ve'en l'chadavor shemis akev acher Tumah shobein arba'im," and there should be nothing that should come after the Korban Tumah shobein arba'im, because as we said, it says in that regard, Bein Horabayim, El Ketores, Veneros, UPesach, as the only things that come after that would be the Ketores, which we brought down Psukim for, the Neros, which we brought down Psukim for, and the Korban Pesach, which we brought down, said both Bo'erev and Bein Horabayim. So therefore, the Korban Tumah in the afternoon is the last thing, except for these three exceptions to that rule. But then this price is, there's also one other exception, which shouldn't be done normally, but in a situation where it was forgotten to go and bring your carbon as a Mechusar Kippurim, which I'll explain in a moment again what that is. So a Mechusar Kippurim the Erev Pesach, a person who's lacking atonement, for example, the person is a Metzora, and he has to go through the 7-day Tahara process, which he does. He goes to the Mikvah, and now he's Tahar in regards to Truma, and in regards to all other aspects of Tumah. With one exception, he's still called a Mechusar Kippurim, he's lacking a full kapara, until he brings his korbanos of the Metzora on the 8th day. Metzora has to bring a Chatas, he has to bring an Oshon, and he has to bring an Ola. When he brings these korbanos, so now he's allowed to eat from Kachim. He has to go to the Mikvah again, before he's allowed to eat from the Kachim, but once he brings these korbanos and goes to the Mikvah, he's now allowed to eat from Kachim. So here this person, on his 8th day, is Erev Pesach. So he wants to eat from the Korban Pesach that night. So he has to bring his korbanos for the Metzora to remove this last remnant of the tzaras that he has upon him. And he's called the Mechutzar Kippurim. He's still lacking a full kapara until he brings these korbanos. Now, he should have brought these korbanos during the day before the Korban Tumah Shobein Arba'im and before the Korban Pesach, obviously. Now, he didn't. So they brought the Korban Tumah and somebody runs into the Beis HaMikdash and says, "Hey, wait, I didn't bring my Mechutzar Kippurim korbanos yet." So you're allowed to also bring these. Mechusar Kippurim, the Erev Pesach, can also come after the Korban Tumah Shobein Arba'im in a situation, b'diyeda, that you didn't bring it beforehand like you should have. And then, Shetov Oshenis, the person then goes to the mikvah again after his korbanos are brought, and now he's fully tahar, and he can go and eat from the Korban Pesach that night. So this Brisa says there's one other exception to the rule, that the Korban Tumah is the last korban of the day. You can also bring the Korban Pesach, as we brought down. You do the Ketores and the Neiros as well. And you could bring this Korban for a Mechusar Kippurim that didn't bring his Korbanos the way they should have been brought before the Korban Tumah in the afternoon. That's the first statement in the Braisa. Then along comes Rabbi Shmuel ben Obishav Riochim Broka, and he adds the following, Omer, Af Mechusar Kippurim B'Shayim Osashona. It's not only on Erev Pesach that there's a Mechusar Kippurim, but a person who brought his Korban Shlamin. And now he wants to eat from it. So he's not allowed to eat from his Korban Shlamim until he has the final act of Kapara. His Mechusar Kapparim status is taken away. So we allow him, according to Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Yochum Mibroka, to also bring his Mechusar Kippurim Korbanos after the Korban Tumah Shobein Harbayim, because this will allow him to do the assay of eating his Korban Shlamim that he had brought earlier in the day. And therefore, we will make this exception as well here on a regular day, not only on Erev Pesach to allow him to eat Korban Pesach, but even on a regular day to allow him to eat from his Korban Shlamim. Af Mechusar Kippurim, B'Shayim Osa Shana, Shetovel V'Ochel B'Kotchim L'Erev. We allow him to bring his Korbanos after the Korban Tumah Shel Bein Horabayim, and then he goes to the Mikvah, and that afternoon, after that, he's already allowed to eat. You don't have to wait till nightfall, but he's allowed to go and eat his Korban Shlamim at that point in time. Now, we understand, according to the Tanna Kamma, why for the Korban Pesach we'll make this exception to allow the Mechusar Kippurim Karbanos of the Mitzorah to be brought after the Karban Tomid Shel Bein Harabayim, because there's a Mitzvah Aseh here to eat the Karban Pesach, which has a penalty of Karis attached to it if you don't. And therefore, the Brisa says, Bishlomo Tana Kama Yovu Aseh de Pesach Sheesh B'Karis. There's a Mitzvah Aseh to eat the Karban Pesach, for which if you don't, it's one of the two Mitzvah Aseh that you get Karis for. There are 36 Mitzvahs Los Aseh, only two Mitzvahs Aseh, the Mitzvah of Bris Mila and the Mitzvah of eating the Karban Pesach, for which if you don't do those positive actions, you get Karis. So therefore, it makes very good sense that if the person is going to transgress this mitzvah saseh, of which there's attached to it a karis penalty, that should push aside the mitzvah saseh of making sure that the carbon tumen is the last carbon of the day. Okay, it's a mitzvah to make sure that the carbon tumen is the last mitzvah of the day, a mitzvah saseh. But if you don't do that, if you make an exception for the mechusa kippurim's karbanos, so we understand that that aseh that doesn't have karis should be pushed aside by the aseh of eating the carbon pesach that does have karis attached to it. Very good. Tanakama, bishlama, no problem. Elo, Rabbi Shlomo ben Osho, Rabbi Yochanan ben Rocha, he says you should do this for a regular assay of eating your carbon shlamim. So why does the regular assay of eating your carbon shlamim push aside the regular assay that the carbon tumen should be the last carbon in the afternoon? Elo, Rabbi Shlomo ben Osho, Rabbi Yochanan ben Rocha, my ume dahai assay, may I assay? Why would he say that the assay of eating your carbon shlamim, and therefore you have to go bring now your mechusa kippurim karbanos after the carbon tumen, why should that assay be pushed aside? In order to, the assay of eating your carbon shlamin should push aside the assay that the carbon tumen should be the last carbon brought in the day. So Amar Ravina, Ravina will give us the first of two terutzim in the name of Rav Chisda, and he says, you know what, we're dealing here, the only carbon that was lacking, hacha b'chato sa'ov askinan. As I mentioned, the carbonos that the Mitzorah has to bring are three, the Asham, the Ola, and the Chatas. Now, a poor Mitzorah is allowed to bring what we call a korban chatas, it's ola v'yore. He can bring a very, very poor person's carbon, which is not as expensive. And this is a chatas of. So his chatas can be a chatas of. Now, chatas of is unique in that only the blood is put on the mizbeach. There is no actual carbon of the chatas of that is placed on the mizbeach. It is entirely eaten by the kohanim. And therefore, Ravina, Amar Rav Chisda says, we're dealing here with a korban chatas of. And therefore, she'ein la mizbeach el adama. So the problem with having a carbon shechted after the carbon tumen is that you're going to go place the sacrificial fats on the mizbeach. The haktara will be after the carbon tumen. And that's the mitzvah saseh, that nothing should be put up on the mizbeach after the carbon tumen. But here, if the only thing that's lacking for this person's cup, to take away his status of being mechusa kippurim, is the carbon chatas, and it's a chatas ha'ov. So therefore, there's no pushing aside that I say, because there is no basar of the chatas ha'ov that's put on the mizbeach. It's just the dam. And therefore, she'en mizbeach al adama, and therefore there's no problem. So a very simple, good technical teretz that Ravina Amar Chisda tells us. There is no getting rid of this, that idea that the carbon tumen has to be the last carbon of the day. It is the last carbon of the day because there is nothing that is mocked there on the mizbeach after the carbon tumen in this situation. That's why Rabbi Shmuel ben Ochsher tells us that there is a general exception for the mechusa kippurim that can be done all year long, and that's if you're lacking still your chatos ha'of. You're allowed to bring that after the carbon tumen shebein arbaim because there is nothing of the basar, no haktara up on the mizbeach. Teretz number one. Teretz number two. Rav Papa Amar. Even if you want to say, no, we're not talking about a poor person. So therefore, the Mitzorah has to bring a chatas that's a behema and not a chatas that's an oaf. He's a rich guy. And therefore, he has to bring his chatas behema. So now you have a problem. The chatas behema is going to have the sacrificial fats, the emurim, put up on the mizbeach after the carbon tumen. So how can you do this? So the Gemara says, Rav Papa tells us a very simple idea. He says, don't put it up on the mizbeach. Don't actually do the haktara. But there's a problem. If you don't do it that day, you're going to have a problem of lina. If you leave something over past nightfall, it becomes possible through lina. So he says there's a way out of that. Mala, go bring it up on the kevesh. Go bring it up on the mizbeach and place it on the top of the mizbeach, but not on a pyre. Don't burn it. Don't do the haktara. Just umelina berosho shel mizbeach. You put it up on top of the mizbeach. You put it on the kevesh. You put it up on the top of the mizbeach, not on a pyre. And therefore, there's no psul of lina. Now, if there's no psul of lina, but you're not doing the haktara, so we also, Rav Papa says, get around the problem of how can you be docha this assay that the carbon tumen should be the last sacrifice that's sacrificed on the mizbeach? It is the last sacrifice that's sacrificed on the mizbeach because you're going to do the haktara of this chatas behema that is the essential Mechusa Kippurim Kapara Karban. So that's only going to be actually sacrificed the following morning after the Karban Tamash Shosachris. And therefore, we're not going against the essay of having the Karban Tamash being the last Karban that is mocked here during the day. Oh, a very simple Teretz. The Republic gives us as well. This way, we have two terutzim from here. The first one is talking about a chatas ha'ov. The second one says, no, it's a chatas behema, but you don't actually do the haktara that day, and you get around the problem of being lon, of lina, by just placing it up on top of the mizbeach, but not yet makdir it on a pyre. Gemara says, what about the other karbanos that the mitzvah has to bring? Va'ika asham. There's an asham. So how are you going to do that? Okay, your chatas behema idea was fine, your chatas ha'ov idea was fine, but what about the asham? So the Gemara says, okay, Bishlomo Rapapa. The teretz that Rapapa gave was, go put the chatas behema on top of the mizbeach, but not on a pyre, so you're not over the haktara after the karban tamid. So Bishlomo Rapapa, do the same thing. Hainu, the melin law, you can get around the problem of lina by putting it up on top of the mizbeach. So the same teretz that Rapapa gave for the chatas behema would work for the asham as well. But there is no bird offering in regards to an asham. So Ravina Amar Vechis's teretz that you should use a chatas ha'ov, that wouldn't work by the asham. Elu Rav Chista, Ravina Amar Vechista, Michael Neymar, what would Rav Chista say? Someone says, no, simple teretz as well. Amrei Shekar Vashamo. This person wasn't totally negligent. He had brought his asham before the Karban Tamid, and he didn't realize, or he was delayed, whatever the reason, in bringing his chatas. And now, you can get around that by bringing a chatas ha'ov. Not a problem. Okay. We solved the problem for the Chatas Behema or Chatas Ov like Rapapa, Ruchista respectively. We solved the problem of the Yosham like Rapapa, Ruchista respectively. For Ik Ola, but what about the Korban Ola? Again, we said there are three Korbanos that a Mitzorah, who's Mechusa Kippurim, has to bring. So he has to bring an Ola. Now you're going to tell me, maybe, the Chitema Ola Lo Ma'akva, that the Ola doesn't hold back the Kapara that a person gets, and therefore, so don't bring the Korban Ola. You'll be Mekayim the Mitzvah, I say, that a person has to have the Korban Tamid Bein Arbayim, the last thing, and you'll bring the Korban Ola tomorrow. Meanwhile, he has his Kapara to allow him to eat the Korban Pesach that night, and therefore there's no problem. The Ola can be brought the next day, and you don't have any assays that you're pushing aside, and he's not called the Mechusa Kippurim anymore. So, V'chitema Ola Lo Ma'akva, the bringing of the Ola isn't essential for him to go and eat from the Korban Pesach, but that's not true. V'atanya, according to Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, we still have a problem. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Omer, Kishem Shechatoso, V'yashomo Ma'akvinoso, Kach Oloso Mi'akvoso. You do have a problem. Just like the Chatos and the Asham Oma'akev, he's not yet called, done with his Mechusa Kippurim status, and he wouldn't be allowed to eat the Korban Pesach if the Chatos or the Asham weren't brought. Rav Yishmol, Ben Osher, Yochanan ben Broka says the same exact halach applies in regards to the Ola. So you can't give me a teretz over here that just bring the Ola the next day. Adi Gemara says, V'chitema b'shekarv Ola. So let's just say that the Korban Ola was brought already, and therefore we don't have any problem. The Ola was brought, and we have terutzim for both the Chatos and the Asham. But that can't be, because V'chitema Bishakarvo lost. If you want to tell me that the Korban Ola was already brought, that's impossible, because the Korban Ola cannot be brought first. Umi Karva Olaso Kodim Lechatoso Rishon. Are you allowed to go and bring an Ola for a Chatos? As we'll see in this coming Brisa that we're about to say, an Ola always is brought after a Chatos. A Chatos always is preceding an Ola. But Tanya says in this Brisa, Vikriv Es Asher Lechatos Rishona. It tells us that you have to go and bring your chatas first. There are certain times that a person has to bring both a korban chatas and a korban ola. For example, if he did certain types of shavuos and he didn't fulfill what he said he would do, so he has to bring a korban ola and a korban chatas. So it says in that situation, v'kriyas asher lachatas rishon. You have to bring the chatas in that situation first. As Rashi points out, this pasuk is found in Shua's Bitui. Person made an expressive type of a shua where he said he's going to do something and he didn't do it. So then he has to go and bring a chatos and an ola, and it says v'ikri v'sashel lachatos rishona. Fine. Now, why do you have to tell me this? Matam lomer. Why are you telling me in this special pasuk here by Shua's Bitoy v'ikri v'sashel lachatos rishona? I already know that the chatos has to come first. If you're going to tell me im lame shetei kodemus lola, if this is just over here to tell me that the chatos has to be brought before the ola, harei kvar nemar. We've already learned there's a sheni. Yaseh Ola Kamishbot. It says the second korban should be the Ola. So it already tells me that the Chatas has to precede the Ola. So why are you telling me that the Chatas has to precede the Ola? Ella, the Gemara says, this is to teach us a very important principle. This is what we call a binyan av. Zeh binyan av, or bono av, l'chol chatos. This is coming to tell me a general rule. When the Torah mentions something in one place, and there's no reason not to extend it to all other places, there's no advantage or mila in this place that the other places don't have, that makes it not transferable to all the other places, then we make a binyan av. Mislam, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to do it this way by item A, he wants us to do it the same way by items B, C, D, and E. And that's called a binyan av. So Elo said, bono av l'chol chatos. This is to teach us a general rule in regards to when you have a chatos and an olu to be brought. Shiyu kodmin l'chol olus habo simon. And a chatos always takes precedence over an ola, even so much so, the kaimalon, that even dafilu chatos ha'ov, even a bird offering, which is normally much lower than an animal offering, but if the bird offering is a chatos ha'ov, that will take precedence, kodemes, even la olas behema, even to an ola that is born from an animal. Normally an animal, it's a higher level carbon than a bird offering, so one might have thought that the animal offering should always take precedence over the bird offering, so it comes to tell us that if the bird offering is a chatos, it even takes precedence over an ola that is an animal. So therefore, there's no way that this person could have had his ola already brought during the day. So Akasha returns, we've solved the problem by a chatos, we've solved the problem by an asham, but what are we going to do about the ola being brought after the carbon tomin shobein arbaim? How are we allowed to do that? Why are we saying that that should be docha, the mitzvah to bring the carbon tomin, the last thing in the day? So Amar Rava, Rava says, shiny olas mitzorah. This again is the exception to the rule. The ola mitzorah is the one exception to the rule that can it can be brought before a chatos. The Rachmana Amar, we turn now to Nuntes Amid Beis, because the pasuk tells us, v'hel la kohen es ha'ola. The pasuk uses a funny lashon over here, v'heloh hakohen es ha'ola, which implies sheheloh kvar, he had already brought it. So this is the exception to the rule. We have a binyan av. A binyan av applies across the board. A chatas will always precede an ola, unless the pasuk tells us not to. And here, by saying the words v'heloh hakohen es ha'ola, it means ha'ola sheheloh kvar. So therefore, it is possible that he brought the ola during the day, and we have good terutzim for the chatas and for the asham, as Ravina Amar Chista or Rapapa respectively taught us. Amalei Rav Shimon Bar Abba L'Rapapa, Rav Shimon Bar Abba said to Rapapa, L'didach, according to you, the Amris that you say, the Teretz, Rapapa had given us the Teretz, that if dealing here not with the Chatas Ol, but we're dealing with the Chatas Behema, and he suggested that it can be not over the Aseh of making the carbon Tomei Shobein Arbaim, the last carbon, because you can put the chatos, as well as we said the osham, up on top of the mizbeach, mala, umelina baroshal mizbeach, so you're not over the problem of lina, but you're not over doing haktara. So according to you, kaiminon v'yavdinon milsul, a kohanim, the osuboli de takola. The kohanim are going to see this up there on the top of the mizbeach, and as Rashi points out, the kohanim are going to make a mistake. Kishimaktirim kol alayla evarim shenisoru mikorbano shenishkatu, v'nizrak domim kodem latomit. So all the other korbanos of the day that they had shechted and they were putting up on top of the mizbeach to go and sacrifice. So if they didn't get to do them during the day, the kohanim are going to throw them on the pyre at night. The yiru etzo evarim halalu, and they're going to see these evarim. They're going to see the limbs over here that need to be put up on the mizbeach. It really is a sacrificial fast, not so much the limbs. They're going to see these things that need to be put up on the mizbeach, and you solve it. And they're going to say, yeah, shigam elu nitosru, that these also were leftovers from the day, uruin laktirim, and they need to be put up on the mizbeach now, and they're going to, by mistake, viaktirim, viavriyaseh dashlama, and then you're going to have that day's carbon instead of put up after the carbon tamid. So how are you allowed to do this? Now, you can obviously ask the question, how are they allowed to put anything up on the mizbeach? Never mind this carbon chatos or this carbon asham. What about all the other sacrificial parts that they're now putting up on the Mizbeach after the carbon tamid, Shobein Harbayim, was put up on the Mizbeach? So the answer to that is simple. These weren't shechted after the carbon tamid, Shobein Harbayim. It's only if they're shechted after the carbon tamid, Shobein Harbayim, that there's a problem in putting them up on the Mizbeach after the carbon tamid, Shobein Harbayim. But if they were shechted beforehand, then there's no problem. But this one wasn't shechted beforehand. We're saying we allowed you to shecht it after the carbon tamid, Shobein Harbayim, and this answer there, a papa gave, that put it up on the top of the Mizbeach, but don't yet sacrifice it, was a good teretz. Except now, Rav Shimon Bar Abba is saying to Rav Papa, but it's putting a potential stumbling block in front of the Kohanim, because they're going to, by mistake, now put this on the Mizbech, and now be over the Aseh. As Gemara says, the Sabre, the Yomihu, the Osru Lekture, they're going to think that this was from the previous day's Korbanos, and they're not going to realize that this was left up there on purpose, not to be sacrificed, and they'll make a mistake. So therefore, you're putting a stumbling block in front of the Kohanim. How can you do this, Rav Shimon Bar Abba, Esther Rav Papa? So he says, very simple, Amalei, Kohanim's reasoning. A teretz we give many, many times in Beis HaMikdash. The Kohanim are very zealous in the performance of their mitzvos. There are also many other Kohanim there to remind them if somebody were to make a mistake, and therefore we don't have to be concerned about takola. We don't have a lot of shvus. We don't have additional rabbinical restrictions in the Beis HaMikdash area because of this principle of Kohanim's reasoning, and therefore there is no concern over here that the Kohanim will make a mistake and put this up on the top of the Mizbeach. Another kasha to Rav Papa, Amalei Rav Ashi Rav Kahana, Rav Ashi to Rav Kahana. Others say Amalei Rav Huna Breda Rav Nosson asked to Rav Papa directly. In any event, the question was V'ha Kama Delo Miskatre Emurin Kohanim Lo Motzu Ochle Basar. Wait a second. The whole idea of bringing these korbanos is that the korbanos can be eaten. They're put up on the mizbeach, the parts are put on the mizbeach, and then the kohanim eat them. Okay, so you say the kohanim won't eat it, but then you're not going to get the kapara, and the person will still be considered a mechusah kiparim until the kohanim eat it. But the kohanim can't eat it until the haktara. And here you're telling us, Rav Papa, that you don't do the haktara. So, v'ha kama delo miskatre emurin, until these sacrificial fats are actually put up on the mizbeach, you got a problem. Kohanim lo matzu achli basar. The kohanim can't eat the basar over here of this chatas or of this osham. The Tanya says in another brisa, yochu you kohanim rashayim b'chaz levishok kodim haktaraz emurin. You might have thought that the kohanim are allowed to eat the portion that's given to them, the chazi and the shok, before the sacrificial fats are brought. So therefore, comes to tell me, Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says, no, the kohen puts the sacrificial fats on the mizbeach, and only then, only there afterwards are the chazi and the shok allowed to be eaten by Aaron and his children. In other words, the kohanim. And therefore, until the actual haktarah is done, they're not allowed to eat it. So therefore, it's still called mechusah kippurim. Now, the Gemara continues the question. The Kama, the Kohanim, lo'ach le'basar. Okay, so the Kohanim didn't eat the basar. Big deal. But no, if the Kohanim didn't eat the basar, ba'olam lo miskapri. So then, they're still called mechusar kippurim. The people cannot yet be considered that they can eat the Karban Pesach until the Kohanim eat the basar. But the Kohanim can't eat the basar because it wasn't brought on the Mizbeach. So what did you accomplish by putting it up on the top of the Mizbeach? The person who brought these Korbanos after the Karban Tamar Shaben Arbaim is still going to be a mechusar kippurim. Because the Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, v'achlu osam asher kupar behem. It's only when the Kohanim eat it, the Pasuk is teaching us, that the person now is considered a mechusah kippurim. V'lam esher kohanim ochlim. It's only when the Kohanim eat it, ubalim iskapin. So we're stuck. So the Gemara says, whoever the question was asked, either to Rav Kana or to Rav Papa, they would respond and say as follows. No. Under normal circumstances, you're right. The order has to be, do the haktorah. That gives the rights to the chazay and the shok to the Kohanim. And then they eat it, and the person gets his kapara. That's under normal circumstances, when it's efshar. But kivan de lo efshar, in this situation, because of the problem of being over the assay of bringing no korbanos after the korban tamar shebein or abayim, so we can't do the haktara. Efshar, and kivan de lo efshar, in this situation, it's no different. Asa'um kemisha nitmu o sha'avdu. What happens if the haktara that's supposed to go on top of the mizbeach became tameh, or it became lost? So what do you do in that situation? So the Kohanim is still allowed to eat the chazay and the shok, the Tanya, because the Braisa tells us, Yocho, nitmu emurin, o shavdu. I might have thought that the sacrificial fats were either becoming tomei, and therefore can't be put up on the Mizbeach, or they were lost, and therefore can't be put up on the Mizbeach. Then in that situation, tough luck, Kohanim, lo you Kohanim zakoyim, because of the shok, that the Kohanim don't get the chazay and the shok. Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says that's not true. It says, V'hoyo echoz liyaru novonav, that the Kohanim get the chazay and the shok, no matter what, mikol makom. That's what it says. V'hoya, it's theirs. You're right. It normally should be given to them only after the haktara. But when the haktara can't be done, yevsha, because of either tameh or avdu, or in our situation, because you'd be over the iser, the asay of doing anything after the korban tamar shebein or abayim, and that's why you put it up on the top of his mat, but not on the pyre yet. Therefore, it's yevsha, and therefore v'hoya chaz la'avonav mikol makom. They get it no matter what. Finally, the last comments that we're going to have on this. Rav Kahana Rami. Rav Kahana said we have a stira between two brises. It says in one pasuk, ksiv, the pasuk says, V'lo yolin chelev chagiyad boker, that you're not allowed to leave over anything until the morning. You can't leave the chelev over until the morning. In other words, you have to go and sacrifice the chelev ad boker, hudelo yolin, not until the morning, ha kol alayla kul yolin, but you're allowed to do the sacrificial fats at night. In fact, the tefillah of Maariv is keneged, the bringing of the Evarim and the Emurim, up on the Mizbeach. So you're allowed to bring it up all night long. But then it says in the other pasuk, "Kusiv v'yikter oleh chavei hashlamim." It says over here that oleh hashlam kol abanus kulam, that all of these things have to be brought after the karban tamid shel shachris, and nothing should be brought after the karban tamid shel bein arbayim. So you have a stira. One says you're allowed to leave them till the following morning. In other words, it can be done after the karban tamid shel bein arbayim. The other pasuk says they have to be done before the karban tamid shel bein arbayim. So how do you resolve this stira? So Rav Kahana was the one that asked the question, who mosiv law. However, v'umafarik law, he also answered the question. He says, kishani tosru. We're talking here about where it was left over. But again, as I pointed out before, you're dealing with the shechita of the carbon was done before the carbon tamid. So therefore, the shechita, and therefore the zrika, was done before the carbon tamid. And in that situation, there is no lav, there is no problem in bringing the sacrificial fats, the emurim, up on the mizbeach after the carbon tamid, shoben harbayim, is shechted and brought itself. So therefore, there is no stira. Finally, Rami le'rav safru le'rav, that's the girsa that we have on the side. It says the girsa should really be rava. So what's the stira? It says, Ksiv, it says in one pasuk, lo yolin laboker zevachavak pesach. You're not allowed to leave until the morning any of the meat left over. So that implies laboker hud lo yolin until the morning, but ha kol alayla yolin. But all night long, you're still allowed to leave it. It's not a problem of lina. But the other pasuk says, v'ksiv, olas shabbas b'shabbato, v'lo olas chol b'shabbas, v'lo olas chol b'yantiv. You're allowed to only bring the karbonos of Shabbos or of yantiv on Shabbos or Yontif. It's Docha Shabbos or Yontif, but the Erev Shabbos or Erev Yontif Karbanos are not Docha. So, the problem is, the Korban Pesach is Shechted Erev Pesach, when it's Chol. So you're only allowed to go and leave it over until the morning. If you don't burn it before the morning, you're going to be over this Pasuk of Lo Yolin LaBoker Zeva Chagar Pasach. So you have to burn it before the morning. But the Pasuk says you're not allowed to burn it on the morning because it was an Erev Pesach Korban. How can you go burn it on Shabbos? If Shabbos is the Pesach Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, so then it says Ola Shabbos B'Shabbato, and you're not allowed to bring Velo Ola Shechol B'Shabbos, Velo Ola Shechol B'Yantiv. So how are you allowed to do this? So Amalei, so Rav or Rav, whoever it was, responded, this question was already posed previously when Rav Abba Bar Chiya asked this question to Rabbi Avo, Vishani Le, and Rabbi Avo responded and he said, you know what, we're dealing Hocha B'Yarbosar Shechol Yos B'Shabbos Askinon. Erev Pesach was Shabbos, and therefore the Chol V'Shabbos craving B'Yontiv. It's not a problem to go and sacrifice this carbon because even though it's a carbon of Chol, but it was Shabbos, Erev Pesach here was Shabbos, and therefore there's not a problem of sacrificing it on Yontif, because you're right, you can't have Chol, lo Olas Chol b'Yontif, but you can have Olas Shabbos b'Yontif. Therefore, that's the terrace. The Chavi Shabbos craving b'Yontif, and therefore there is no problem over here. We're dealing b'Arvah, so Shechol Yos b'Shabbos Askinon, the Chavi Shabbos craving b'Yontif. So that's the terrace that Rav or Rava gave to Rav Safra. On the other hand, Amalei Rav Safra, Rav Safra tells him back to either Rav or Rava, Bishum Dechal V'Shabbos Kreven B'Yontif, Anan Neku V'Neimolei, the high Kro B'Yabo Asor Shechol Yos B'Shabbos Hu Dechsev. That's a Doichak Teretz. You're forcing this Pasuk to be talking about a very unique situation. It's only when Erev Pesach is Shabbos that this din applies. So Rav or Rava says back, Amalei, yeah, Shavke L'Kro, leave the Pasuk alone. There is no other way to understand this. It has to be answered this way. Rashi says, because you pointed out a very good stira. One Pasuk says, Lo Yolin Laboker, Zevachak Pasach, and the other one says, Ola Shabbos B'Shabbato. So you're right. There is no way to understand these psukim other than this somewhat dochak, forced interpretation, because otherwise there is no reconciliation. That concludes this little sugya, and we go on to the next Mishnah. Next Mishnah begins, HaPesach Sheshechoto Shelo Lishmo. Here we start dealing with a subject that we've dealt with many times in the past, and that is improper thoughts or improper machshavos while you're doing shechita. Now, there are different types of improper thoughts. If a person has an improper thought regarding what type of carbon it is, that can make the carbon not a valid carbon. That's why we learned previously that one should always say, the ideal way of doing work in the Beis HaMikdash is to say whatever it's supposed to be, that's what it should be, without specifying it. Because when you start specifying it, you can only make mistakes. So here, they extracted the Korban Pesach. It has to be done on the Shem Korban Pesach, or else it's no good. So a Pesach, Sheshechato Shelo Lishmo. If you shechted it for any other reason other than the Korban Pesach, so then you got a problem. It's not a good Korban Pesach. A Pesach, Sheshechato Shelo Lishmo. Or the Kibel, he did the Kabbalah. After you do the shechita, you do kabbalah and kli sharis, you collect the bloods, and then you do the halacha, the halach, you bring it to the mizbeach, the zarach, and then you do the zrika. So if you did any of these activities with a improper lo lishmo intention, shelo lishmo, or you did it partially, o lishmo, v'shelo lishmo. Part of it you did with the right intention, part of it you did with the wrong intention. Tomorrow we'll discuss, what are we dealing with? Are we dealing with one of these four avodas, the shechita, kabbalah, halacha, zrika? We're dealing within the same one that you had a partial lishmo, partial shelo lishmo? Or is it with one of the four that you had a lishmo, and the other one or two or three of them, you had a shelo lishmo? So that's what the Gemara will discuss. So here you did it partially lishmo and partially shelo lishmo, or lishmo, you did it lishmo, v'shelo lishmo. Either way, oh, shelo lishmo, v'lishmo, you first did the shelo lishmo, and then you did the lishmo. Doesn't make a difference the order over here. In all of these situations, you didn't do the entire Karban Pesach lishmo, and it's possible. That's what the Mishnah tells us. Finally, the Mishnah concludes and says, Ketzad lishmo v'shelo lishmo. Give me examples of what does it mean you're doing it l'shem Karban Pesach and you're not doing it l'shem Karban Pesach. So l'shem Pesach, l'shem Shlamim. Let's say a person said, I'm doing the activity here, l'shem Pesach, l'shem Shlamim. As I said, the Gemara will discuss, does it mean one activity, even within the same activity? You did the Shechita l'shem Pesach and you did l'shem Shlamim, or you did the Shechita l'shem Pesach and you did the Kabbalah l'shem Shlamim. The Gemara will discuss that. So you're doing it l'shem Pesach, l'shem Shlamim. So that's what it means, lishmo v'shelo lishmo. First you did a shem Karban Pesach, then you did a shem Shlamim. And the other way around, shelo lishmo lishmo. What does that mean? You did it first a not lishmo l'Karban Pesach, and then you did a shem Karban Pesach. That means you first did it l'shem Shlamim, and then you did it l'shem Pesach. In all of these situations, it's possible. It's no good. Now, the Gemara begins and asks, Abai Rav Pav asks the following shalom. Bavoda achas tanan? As I pointed out in the Mishnah, when we said you're doing something partially lishmo and partially shelo lishmo, is that talking about in one of the avodas? Again, the four avodas that we're talking about here, shechita, kabbalah, holocha, and zrika. So if you have an improper machshava in two different one of these, so that's clear that you could have lishmo for one of them and shelo lishmo for another one of them. That's clear and simple. Question is, within the same avoda, could you have during the shechita both a lishmo and a shelo lishmo type of an avoda? That's the question the Rabbah is asking. Gemara says, "Bavoda achas tanan." Do we say that our Mishnah is talking about even in the same avoda? And this is related to a machlokas that we had previously between Rav Yossi and Rav Meir as to whether we say tofus loshon adam rishon or tofus loshon adam achron. Do we say that the person is going to be held accountable for what he said based upon what he said first, and that's it, end of the discussion, that's Rav Meir's opinion, Tofus Loshon Rishon, or do we say that no, Tofus Loshon Achron as well, that's Rav Yossi's opinion. So do we say that it's Be'avod Achatz Tanan, and it could even be the opinion of Rav Yossi, because even if he said Shelo Lishmo second, that still has impact, because we don't say you just follow what he said first. Domer, Af B'Gmar Dvar Odom Nitvas, even the Loshon Achron a person is held accountable for, and therefore, the Mishnah could be talking about when you had a lishmo and a shelo lishmo, even within the same action. Or do we say no? The Rav Meir, if we're talking about Rav Meir's opinion, he holds ha amar tofus loshon rishon that we bedavka only go by what you said first. So if you said lishmo, that's it; it goes lishmo across the board, even though you subsequently had a shelo lishmo machshava. And in this situation, we could say that this is totally in a machlokas between Rav Yossi and Rav Meir. Or do we say return to Samach Amar Aleph, or maybe not? Or Dilma, it's really Likuli Alma. And we're only talking about Odilma Bishtei Avodustan, that when we say on a Mishnah that it could be Elishmo and Elishlo Lishmo, and then Afilu Rav Meir, Dilma Tafas Loshim Rishon, even according to Rav Meir, that you say you go by the first thing that he said. Okay, so the first thing that he said in regards to the Shechita, so that makes the Shechita Lishmo. But now, when it comes to the Kabbalah, the Halacha, or the Zrika, that's already a totally different thing. And even Rav Meir, who holds Tafas Loshon Rishon, that's Hani Mili Bavoda Achas, when you're dealing with one Avoda. Avol Bishtei Avodos, Moda, Din Mifsol, but maybe Rav Meir would agree in that situation when you're dealing with two different Avodos, even Rav Meir would say that, in fact, it could ruin it. So that's the question the Rapub asks. Amri Ahai. So now the Gemara says, exactly what is the case that we're asking Rapub's question on? Inema, if you're telling me it's ashelo lishmo v'lishmo, if it's talking about that you first did something shelo lishmo and then subsequently did something lishmo, so then what difference does it make? Bein bavo da achas, bein mishtei avodos, bein l'Rav Meir, bein l'Rav Yossi, if so le mikamaisa. So once you ruin it, you ruin it. Nobody would say that you can subsequently get it back. So even Rav Yossi says we go by both the first and the second thing, and certainly according to Rav Meir, it says we go by the first thing. If the first thing is no good, that's it, you've ruined it. If so le mikamaisa. So therefore, it can't be talking about that. Dol Rav Yossi Nami, Apik Bardvar of Odom Nitvas, Islay, because he doesn't disagree. He also says that Rav Yossi holds that a person, we take into account his final words, but we don't ignore his original words. It's not a retraction of his original words. So therefore, it can't be talking about a case of shelo lishmo lishmo. So the whole question that Rav Papa is asking is only going on the case ella alishmo, where he first said something lishmo, and then he subsequently said something shelo lishmo. My, that's where Rav Papa's question is going on. So we'll try to answer it from the following Toshma. In our Mishnah, we learn the following: HaPesach sheshichato shelo lishmo. If you shechted the korban pesach not l'shem korban pesach, but then you did all the other avodas as well, v'kibel v'hilech v'zorach shelo lishmo, also shelo lishmo. It's no good. Now, Hechidam, what are we talking about? If you're going to say that you just follow this along literally, that you did each of the four steps, shelo lishmo, so lomali ad mechashiv lekulu. So then what difference does it make if the second, third, and fourth are no good? Once the first one is no good, boom, you're out of the game. Mikamaisa ifsale. As soon as you did the shchita, shelo lishmo, ended the discussion. It's no good. Who cares what you did in the Kabbalah, the Halacha, and the Zrika? So obviously that can't be what it's talking about. Elav hochiktoni. This Toshma or Mishnah must be talking about the following case. If you shechted a Pesach sheshechato shelo lishmo, if you shechted it shelo lishmo, it's no good. Or alternatively, inami, even if you shechted it lishmo, shechato lishmo, however, you did any of the other steps, the kibel, the kabbalah, the hilach, the alocha, the zorak, the zrika, shelo lishmo, or alternatively, inami, shechato, the kibel, the hilach lishmo, if you did even the first three steps, all for the proper kavanah of the Korban Pesach. You did the shechita, the kabbalah, the halacha, the shmo. And it's only the zrika that you messed up. The zorak shelo lishmo, the havi le shtei avodos. So our Mishnah is clearly talking about that you did two separate avodos, one lishmo and one shelo lishmo. So therefore, our Mishnah seems to clearly be describing two separate sections. You had lishmo on one section, and then you had the shelo lishmo on another section. Now keep on reading our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Eima Seifa. Look what our Mishnah says in the Seifa, Lishmo, Vishalo Lishmo. Our Mishnah says, in the case of Lishmo, Vishalo Lishmo. Now, Hechidami, if you're telling me, Inema Bishtei Avodos, so then I know Reisha. So then how is that any different than the Reisha? So the Seifa would be just reiterating what the Reisha said. So that can't be it. Elolab, Biavoda Achas. Therefore, mustn't it be talking about even in the same avoda, and therefore the Rav Yosihi, the other Apigamar Dor Avodim Nitvas? So therefore, Rav Papa's question is asked and answered. It's talking about even within the same avoda, and it goes according to the opinion of Rav Yosi that says in that situation it could have both the lishmo and the shelo lishmo, and we would take into account both of them. As opposed to Rav Meir, who said no, you just take into account the first lashon. So let us say that that's what our Mishnah is talking about. Gemara says lo, lav dafka, lo. The olam b'shtei avodas. In fact, we're talking about that it could be talking about two separate avodas. The lishmo was during one avoda, and the shelo lishmo was during another avoda. Aye, then it seems to be repeating itself. The reisha and the sefer, what's the chiddush? So the Gemara says, v'reisha dekoy b'shchita. Why are you doing the shchita? V'kol mechashiv b'shchita. And you're saying, this thought that I'm having about this korban being lishmo, or not lishmo, is talking about the shchita. Inami. Or he was doing the Zrika Avoda and was having a Machshava on the Zrika. And that tells us that that's what the Reish is talking about. But the Seifa is talking about the Koi B'Shchita while he's doing the Shchita, the Kochoshet B'Zrika, but he has an improper Machshava about the Zrika. As he shechted the animal, he says, oh, I'm going to do the Zrika, the Shem Korban Shlomim. That's where it messes it up. Yom HaRini Shochet, it's a Pesach Lishmo, Lizrok Domo Shalo Lishmo. So here, he has within the same avoda an improper thought about a different avoda. And that's what the Sefer is Kamashvalon, the Machashim Avoda Le Avoda, Bahainu Boy the Rav Papa. And therefore, we have our question, even within the same avoda, according to Rav Papa, that's the question. Would this be considered two separate avodos, or is this considered one avoda? That is Rav Papa's question. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll try to resolve Rav Papa's question tomorrow. We didn't resolve it yet in today's shir. This concludes today's share.